much like our mate Lee Ellis, the only place to read your emails and tweets. Oh, that's so sexy. It's Wednesday, April 14th. This is the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. I'm Jay Skeets, and that right there is Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tassie. We got the hotter of the Top Shot Hot Boys, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey! Yo. And last but not least, making the magic happen, just like that souped up intro there with Lee Ellis, is JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. So when did that come about, JD? Did you ask for that, or did he send it in?
That was unsolicited. Typically. Here's a shot of me walking down the beach, if you'd like to use it for a beach step. And how could I resist, you know?
Stupid, sexy Flanders.
All right, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like, comment, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Our goal, we've set a goal, Tass, I'm not sure if you heard it on our daily show this morning without you, but 40K by the end of next week. That's what we want to hit here with our No Dunk subscriptions.
Wow, we're achievable goals.
Yeah. I mean, like I was talking about how we've slowed down recently. It's still upticking. You know, there's new subscribers every day. We appreciate everybody that's done it. But 40K feels attainable. I think we can get there by the end of next week. Let's do it, okay?
Yeah, the numbers say so. Let's do it. It's just a touch above what we usually do. It's kind of like reaching for 50 wedgies in a shortened season. You know, it's like it shouldn't happen, but we can get there.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what. If we get to 40K by the end of next week, we'll reshoot something very sexy with Lee Ellis on the beach. Less clothing, no rash guard.
Interesting.
Yeah. As he's walking away there, since he's strolling down the beach. Okay. So let's get
Aquaman.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, there he is. I think Lee likes the movie Aquaman. What do you think?
I don't think he's ever seen it. Yeah,
he would like it.
He might like it, but he's definitely never seen it. Unless he accidentally saw it on a plane or something. And that's unlikely because Mrs. Doubtfire, he's always watching on a plane. So yeah. I can't wait to hear him comment on Mrs. Doubtfire flying from Atlanta to Turks and Caicos and back. Oh, what a guy. Okay, but we are here on our own beach. The only place to go read your emails and tweets.
Baby.
That's right. This is our beach. So let's get into our questions here.
Hey, fellas. Saw a clip recently of a very young James Harden comparing his game to a combination of two players. Here's the clip.
Player right now in the league that people can say, yeah, I can see James Harden being this type of a player?
Maybe two players, Ginobili and Paul Pierce put together.
Manu Ginobili and Paul Pierce. Wow. I mean, isn't that absolutely perfect? He banged it home, and the emailer said, yeah, I think he was spot on. Any other players you guys can think of that are a perfect combo of two other players? Keep up the hard work. That's from Alex M. I mean, that was a young James Harden, and he projected exactly who he was going to be later on in his career, exactly to a point where, you know, we've got Paul Pierce and James Harden sharing the same pastimes. I mean, the extracurriculars, exactly the same sort of line of work that they like to get into. So, James, and how many guys compare themselves to Paul Pierce's game? Not too many,
no.
No,
you
unique.
Said that was a young James Harden. That was a young Chuck Swirsky asking that question, too,
wow.
Wasn't it?
That's a good catch.
Yep.
That was the young. I mean, he was working for the Raptors back then?
Probably.
Wow. Long, long time ago. Anyway, so I went with the big hitter here. I went Zion. I decided, I know there's all these names being thrown out about Zion, but I don't like the Shaq comparison because he's not a back-to-the-basket guy. Obviously, he's monstrous and he's agile, and people forget how agile Shaq was in his younger days. But I'll start with Charles Barkley. I think he's got the Chuck in him that's he's good enough to handle it from the outside and get to the rim for a monstrous guy. So he's got that in him. And I'm going to go with the conventional LeBron. So I think he is that kind of, he's that in between where he can get to the rim. He's got the finishing ability of LeBron at the rim. He's got the handle of Chuck, but he's kind of like in the middle of both of them. Like handles wise, I think he can beat Chuck. But I don't know if he'll ever get to LeBron status. And then shooting wise, he could also beat Chuck. But I don't know if he'll ever get to LeBron status either. Cause you know, he's just such a conundrum. Like he is shooting a decent percentage, but he's not shooting a lot from the outside, and he'll never be as bad as Chuck's 29%. But, I just, I, you know, I'm, I'm like everybody else. I am marveled, but with the way Zion Williamson is playing basketball. So, yeah, I see the Chuck and I see the LeBron and where he's going to fit there. Who frickin' knows? I was tempted to throw in a little Julius Randle, I guess, because he's left-handed and because he's bigger. But that's too easy. Maybe I was thinking lefties because James Harden's comparing himself to Manu as well. But that's mine. Who you guys got?
Go ahead, Trey. You got a good one?
How many three-point attempts per game do you think Tony Parker took in his 18-season career per game?
Not a lot in that Spurs system.
I think it was like one and a half.
Sure.
Sure. 1.3. Yeah. Pretty good guess. That's why for me, that comp for Zion is Shaq plus Tony Parker. You would never think of that, would you?
Whoa.
But Tony Parker could get anywhere he wanted on a basketball court. And the place he wanted to get to was within 10 feet of the rim. His career shooting distance is 10 feet and in. It's crazy to look at. This guy, you know, was an incredible point guard, but not a perimeter player. He wanted to penetrate into the lane, kick out to get shot attempts for his teammates, or finish with a floater or at the rim. That's similar to what Zion is doing right now. Obviously, Tony Parker's a lot better playmaker because he grew up playing point guard. Zion's learning it on the fly in the NBA, but he's got the handles like Tony Parker to get exactly where he wants, and then he finishes as good as Shaquille O'Neal does. So, I mean, I'm happy to go for that easy part of the comparison with the strength and the finishing ability, but he's got the floaters, he's got the flip shots, he's got the touch around the rim as well. And size-wise, he's probably right split in the middle between Tony Parker and Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow, I hadn't thought about that. Is he? Yeah, I guess he's probably...
Maybe.
Your mind immediately goes to him being a lot closer to Shaq, just when you're talking about... Not just like the height. I see what you're doing, like the little nesting dolls within each other.
Yeah.
You know, Zion's going in Shaq, and then Tony Parker's going in Zion. So that makes sense that he's in the middle there. But wow, what a fascinating comparison. I love it, Trey. Really thinking out of the box with that one. My goodness. Mine is something we actually were like tinkering around with on this morning's podcast, Tass, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. I was putting Trey in a tough position because we were talking a lot about Paul George and you know, whether he can keep up this unbelievable play that we've seen at times in the regular season and the streak he's on right now, and can he do it in the playoffs? And that's a huge question mark with him because he's had some great moments back in his Pacers days, had some disappointing moments, especially last year in Game 7 with the Clippers there, but what type of PG we get? And we were like, you know, Trey was saying he's a number two. He is the best equivalent of a number two that you would really want or that you can get in a league. Like, he's maybe not your number one guy, but man, if he's your secondary, if he's your Robin to your Batman, that's awesome. You know, so can he be a Scottie Pippen? And, you know, at first glance, it's like a little crazy. I think Scottie Pippen is one of the greatest players of all time. I think he's actually criminally underrated. But I did a little deeper dive, Trey, just to check the numbers, like in terms of their like
I can
career.
Already tell it's going to hold up. I can already tell this is going to hold up just like Tracy McGrady did.
Yeah, it's not crazy if you just pick, like, let's say the last 6 years of Paul George. So the first season back from his injury, full season, up until now. And then you take like Scottie Pippen's best like window of anywhere between like 6 and 10 years, which is basically what it was. So chop off like the end, Scottie Pippen, get rid of the first couple of years. And man, it's similar. There's a lot of similarity. Now, I think Scottie Pippen was a much better defender than Paul George. I think Paul George is good. I think Scottie Pippen was elite. But PG, in today's game, obviously shoots more threes. I think he's more of a natural scorer than Scottie Pippen. But otherwise, the numbers are not insanely different. They really aren't in terms of like even usage percentage, PER, like those type of numbers. So, yeah, I will go a little crazy here because people hate Paul George, so they're not going to like it. But in PG, there's a little Pippen. And when he is on these tears that he's on, and Trey, you were alluding to it there because we talked about it on the Top Shot live stream that we did when we were talking to Rip Hamilton and Channing Frye and stuff like that. PG, when he's got it going, like in this mode right now where he's like slithering around people, he's so smooth. It reminds me of a little Tracy McGrady when he was going bonkers, obviously in his Magic days. Just the way he moves and his ability to catch fire from three and obviously put up a lot of points in a hurry. So that's a wild one. I'm sure people won't like it because they hate Paul George tasks, but a little Pip and a little like Tracy when PG is locked in. Now that's the problem. The consistency is an issue for him.
It's okay. It's okay. You can commit to Paul George being a good player. He's a very, very, very good player. I know people want to hate on him. He talked a lot. I know Trey brings it up. Trey's not a Paul George lover. There's no doubt. But the guy got to a conference final a couple times. Like, he was, they're sort of 1A player in Indiana. He was their best scorer, And I know, yeah, it was, as some would put it, yeah, he was a superstar by circumstance because Derrick Rose was out for a little bit there. But I don't know if he's a number two. Like, I think he's a 1A. I think he's okay. Like, I know that's, I guess, a little bit of cheating. It's a little bit of it's a little bit of the bracket, like what The Athletic was doing. You know, Seth Partnow was labeling guys as either a 1 or 1A or 1B or 1C or 1D. I forget how many letters it went deep. I think he's, yeah, at this point, right here, right now, you wouldn't say he's a guy you can rely on to win a championship on his own.
Right.
You would definitely never say that about Scottie Pippen either. No. Although, you know, we just watched The Last Dance.
You wouldn't. You just wouldn't. And that is not to knock him, I mean, at all. He was good when Jordan was obviously off. He was great. He's putting up huge numbers. He's still an all-star. But yeah, he's not. I don't think you're feeling extremely confident building your franchise around just that guy, in Pippen or Paul George. Or Tracy McGrady, by the way.
Sure.
If we get to it. You know, they need that secondary guy. And most guys do. Like, that is, again, not a knock on any of them, I don't think.
Paul George had more playoff success than Tracy McGrady. I mean, that happened. He got to conference finals a couple times. And he was there. He was there in game sevens with LeBron. He was the closest, I think. I know, you know, we've done this before, the top five teams that almost got LeBron when he was in the Eastern Conference, and the Bulls and Pacers are, you know, you can call them 1A. I'm going back to the 1 and 1A. I mean, I thought the Pacers were the closest team, but yeah, those just couldn't get over the hump. But I'm a Paul George stan, you know, until
Ooh,
he...
That's risky.
I know. But I guess it's just his style of play that I like, that he is slithery snake out there. And he's not a snake because he yaps about people, but he slides around like he's out there getting to his spots. Yeah, like T-Mac, using his agility and using his sidesteps. And it was hard not to think of Paul George watching Jason Tatum last night. Like, you know, there's similarities there for sure.
Absolutely. All right, let's hear your perfect combos, guys out there. Drop them in the YouTube comments. I love that stuff. A little Frankenstein work there. But yeah, cool clip from James Harden saying that. Like, before even making the NBA, I assume that was like sort of his pre-draft
probably
stuff, right?
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild to go
nice
with
call.
Paul Pierce and the Ginobili one for sure. All right, next one here. Hello, no Dunkaritos. I was thinking about the vast amount of talent in the NBA, and I couldn't help but think ahead to the potential all-NBA teams this season. At the guard position, the field seems especially stacked, with only 6 guards making the teams. That makes sense. You know, 2 on the first team, 2 on the second team, 2 on the third team. It means at least 3 of the following 9 players are going to miss out here. James Harden, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving, and Bradley Beal.
Wow.
Wow, that's wild when you wrap your head around that. There are also other few candidates in the hey, what about this guy categories, like Zach LaVine and Jaylen Brown and even Ben Simmons. So my question, what are your current predictions for the 2021 all NBA guards, or put another way here, of those 9 that I first listed, who gets left off? Warm cup, bubble ties, sauce yum. This is from Andrew in Perth, Australia. Whoa.
Stretch.
So let me hit you again there, Tass. You can answer this one first. The 9 guys he listed, and maybe tell me if he's missing somebody, but Harden, Curry, Luka, Dame, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie, and Beal.
Look at that list. Those 9 dudes.
That's tough.
And
those aren't even guys that are sort of borderline forwards that you can, you know, push to the forward spot. Like, they're all guards, period. You know, sometimes you can squeeze in a Kawhi Leonard. You know, he could be a guard or forward, or a Jimmy Butler or whatever. But
yeah,
the forward spots aren't even weak either. Giannis, LeBron, Zion, Durant, Paul George, Kawhi, Tatum. Those 6 spots are going to be filled anyways. You can't squeeze it in. Or people will say, why not have 3 forward spots? Get rid of the center spot like they do for the All-Star game. But Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, probably 2 MVP candidates, plus Rudy Gobert, all 3 centers. So we are in a period where we're just swimming in talent in the NBA. I mean, look at all these guys. So it's, yeah, there's 9 of them there. I think that those are the legit ones.
Yeah.
We can leave off the what about those guys.
Yeah, I think so. No offense to Trey, your guy, Zach LaVine, or Jalen Brown, who had an awesome start.
He didn't
start.
Make my list. No, okay. Zach LaVine didn't make my list. And okay. Yeah, Jalen was, he had a chance early in the season. Yeah. Not so much anymore.
No. Yeah, look at those dudes. There's not those nine guys. It's time to split hairs. I mean, I think there's two Nets on there and there's two Suns on there. And the fact that, you know, Kyrie hasn't played a ton of games, for me, he'd be the guy who gets left off from the Nets. Wow. And I James Harden right now has played more games than him, although he's out too, so this could change at the end of the season. But yeah, I think you take off a Net. I think you take off a Sun. Now this is the hard one. The Sun. I think it's going to be Chris Paul who gets left off, which is nuts. This is Chris Paul we're talking about. But yeah, I would leave off if it was me coming to this very difficult decision. I think it would be Kyrie, Chris Paul, and it probably will be Bradley Beal just because he's lost, even though the guy's leading the freaking league in scoring. So
is
it's
he
hard.
Still leading the league in scores? Yeah, he is. Yeah. At points per game, at least. Yeah, Lillard has more total points, but yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's tough. I think, yeah, it was just, it's, you just got to find a way to cut people off of this list. So it was easy to do that with multiple guys from one team. That's where I sort of started from.
Larry throwing out a name that wasn't mentioned that maybe should be in the mix, at least the one about these guys. It's Trae Young, I think, is going to be sort of included in there, especially with the Hawks winning a bunch of games now. I don't think he makes this top nine here that we're getting at, though.
Sorry, so. Larry, we forgot a guy in the what about these guys category. Trae's not going to make it this year.
So you're ultimately saying, to answer the question, you're saying you're taking Kyrie off, you're taking Bradley Beal off because the Wizards are like 20 and 33.
Yeah,
and then you're taking who? Did you
take Chris Paul off? I don't feel good about it. Okay, and I'm leaving Booker on there. But yeah, it's when you say those names, taking them off the list, it feels wrong. But then you look at the look at the guys who are left. It's Harden, Curry, Luka, Lillard, Booker, and Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think like five of those guys are sort of locks, and then it gets into like maybe that Booker one there. Like, yeah, I think those ones you said: Harden, Steph, Luka, Dame. And I think Mitchell. I mean, the guy's like a 25-5 guy on the best team in the league. Like, come on. He's like,
lock it in.
He should be in the MVP conversation. He's not going to be, which is wild. So he's a lock. Yeah, that leaves that one open spot. So, Trey, how do you tackle this? Good luck.
I'm the same. I'm the exact same as you, Skeets. Curry, Doncic, Lillard, Harden, Mitchell, lock them in right now. And then the question becomes, do you want, which of these two Suns do you want? Chris Paul or Devin Booker? I'm going Devin Booker. If you want Chris Paul, that's an easy case to make as well. And next question, do you want two Nets? I don't know. I can see it. I mean, they've been the best team in the league since they got James Harden, despite not playing with all their guys. Sure, you can make a case for Kyrie right there. Or do you honor the guy who is the absolute best at one thing, Bradley Beal, a leading scorer in the NBA, or Ben Simmons, the best perimeter defender in the NBA, a guy who's barely even getting mentioned as a, hey, what about this guy, which I think is totally fair. So for me, the last spot would be Devin Booker, but there are cases to be made for all of these guys. Guard position is absolutely stacked right now. And as Tass mentions, that's the case for all of the positions here in the NBA, because we are swimming at the talent beach, as they're saying here in the stream team, taking a dip in that talent pool.
Okay, I get all these reasons why maybe you only want one Net on the team and you're going to go Harden over Kyrie, but can I just read you Kyrie Irving's season right now? It is sort of insane, and again, I think it's been overlooked probably because he's on a team that has two other All-NBA guys, but he's played 38 games, Kyrie Irving. He's averaging 27.6 points per game, 5 boards, 6 assists, and his shooting percentages right now are 51% from the floor, 39.8% from 3, and then 90.7% at the free throw line with basically a 25 PER. And the win share is obviously very, very high there at the point guard position at 5.6. That's, you know, he's like a 51-40-91 guy at scoring 28 a game with all these other stats too. It's, I get it. He's taking these games off, personal reasons. He seems to like to sort of be there and then he's not. And whatever, the Nets continue to win games. He seems to still have a great relationship with his other star players, with his head coach. So it's sort of like a who cares if he played more games. I think this is a lock that he's in there, but maybe that's held against him. Maybe the way the media thinks about him is held against him when it comes to picking these. I don't know. We don't get a vote. I wouldn't care. But that's wild to me that those are numbers that wouldn't be on an all-NBA team, especially a guy that's already made all-NBA teams too. This is like a career year for him.
It is a career year. It is sort of flying under the radar that he's having a career season. If I'm buying a ticket to watch one guy play, I don't care if he's all on the All-NBA team. I'm paying for Kyrie Irving. And I want to be close because all the little things that he does, you know, with the little trickeries, with the little, you know, the little cut dribbles, little pushes with his one hand, shooting with his left hand. Like, I got to be able to see that all close. But, he's and one balling out there, but then the percentages hold up. Like, he has improved since last year when at the beginning of the year it was just supreme ISO ball, and he would just take the ball at the end of games. But he's found the perfect balance of allowing James Harden to sort of run the show and then him being the guy. I think Harden takes off so much pressure off Kyrie Irving. But, you know, kudos to Kyrie for also saying that, like, I'm not going to have to handle the ball the entire time. You are the point guard, as he famously said earlier in the season to James Harden. And, yeah, it is nuts. It's flying under the radar for sure that Kyrie's having – his career year, and you know, Kevin Durant, when he talked about what he's after in basketball now, it's that self-improvement thing, like, you know, finding love in the process and all that. Like, Kyrie did that. He must have, because he got better, and he's more accurate, even though he has more trickery in his bag, man. It's a blast. We're swimming at that Talent Beach, no doubt. No doubt.
Welcome to Talent Beach, everyone. Grab a drink. Kyrie's a weird guy. When you just look at his accolades, he's a 7-time All-Star, but only a 2-time All-NBA selection. And I think maybe like some, you know, post-All-Star game sort of injuries came into play, and he doesn't have the games and like all of this talent pool that we just talked about at Talented Beach here in this league for the last couple of years of the position. But that's sort of just wild. I don't know. I hear you guys. He may not be making this, but that's crazy. That's just, it's just crazy. But that's awesome. That's a good problem to have, I guess, for fans of the NBA at the very least.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks. All right, let's take it off the court.
Okay.
Howdy, friends. Aaron Rodgers recently made his debut as a Jeopardy guest host. What current NBA player would you like to see fill in on the iconic game show? My initial thoughts, Draymond, Rondo, Boban. Thanks and keep up the great work. That's from Matt Mies, Matawaron. So Skeets, who do you got hosting Jeopardy?
Well, I have a question for you guys before I get to my answer. I see the clips going around on Twitter, but I haven't watched a full episode where Aaron Rodgers is the host. Like, has he been well received? Because I know they're rotating in like guest hosts, like Ken Jennings, I believe, already did it. But Trey
Rodgers did 2 weeks, I think.
Okay, I mean, did people like him? Like, I know there was some, like, the only clips I saw were like funny little, like, people didn't know about the Packers or something like that, and then he can like come back with a little quip. But like, was he struggling to read the questions? Was he like smooth with it? Like, I'm just fascinated. I mean, I wish I watched. I should have watched. But Trey, any insight?
No insight at all. Okay. I'm the same as you. I've just seen that it was happening and I've seen the laughs. But you got to think that, you know, a legendary quarterback is kind of a very good call for a Jeopardy host, yeah, because they're used to processing information very quickly and making these decisions as soon as they can. Got to be able to handle a questions board just like you do a clipboard. If you,
yeah,
will,
yeah,
if you will, if you're talking schemes,
okay,
X's and O's out there.
Well, yeah, the stream team.
I don't have answers either. Just questions.
Okay. Well, look. The yeah, just like Jeopardy. The stream team is basically saying he's maybe the best guest. I guess Katie Couric was okay. Dr. Oz sucked. I'm not sure about Ken Jennings, but whatever. I guess Aaron Rodgers is doing okay. Anyway,
Rude Dog says he's a pro and a total student of the game. He was breaking down footage of Alex Trebek. Not a joke. That's the dedication of a quarterback right there, to get prepared to do it when the time comes.
Yeah, I think there was an article on The Ringer about how he was like really wanted to do this and was taking it very seriously. And people were like, what are you doing? You should be like practicing in the offseason, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, this isn't that long. Like, we shoot a bunch of episodes in like a somewhat small time frame. Like, relax. Like, so yeah, he wants to do it. So good. My NBA player. Like those were funny suggestions from the emailer there from Matt from the Mies. You know, Draymond Green. Rondo. I guess he's going with like they could be like get angry at the contestants and like, you know, sharp wit and stuff like that. Boban. Okay, it just would be hilarious looking. But I think the funniest person to me in the NBA is Klay Thompson. Like, I just find everything he does hilarious. Just his dry delivery, just his, like, confidence in himself. So he doesn't seem to care what anyone thinks. So I just, like, I don't know if he'd actually be good at hosting Jeopardy, but I think it would be must-watch because everything Klay does is must-watch to me. So I'll go with him as my answer. Though a couple other suggestions. I think on pure, like, like a pure charismatic guy, I think De'Aaron Fox, having the chance to have talked to him a couple times and you see him in interviews, I just think he's just so smooth. So I think, you know, Alex Trebek was just smooth, right? I mean, he was quick. He was just like even keel, but he could get his little jabs in. So I like De'Aaron Fox. And then if we want to stick with like an international host, because Alex Trebek being Canadian, a legend, well, what about Stephen Adams? Who also is a funny guy, would look funny in a suit asking these questions. So those are my three, but I'll go Klay ultimately. Trey, you got anyone else?
I think Stephen Adams said there was that time Russell Westbrook bought everybody suits for the Thunder to walk in on. He's like, next time I'm wearing a suit is at my funeral. So that'd be interesting to see what kind of attire he brings to Jeopardy. My original answer was Jimmy Butler. I think he's got great reactions and he likes to perform for a camera as well. But after last night, it's got to be Anthony Edwards. The guy is the best interview in the league right now. Imagine getting a Jeopardy clue. You give your response, and he's like, who is he? I don't know who that is. I don't know anything about Renaissance painters.
Yeah.
But it's like every night he's got a great line. He had the line about R.J. Barrett being the one that the Wolves wanted to shoot the ball at the game against the Knicks. He had the one where he's like, coach can't play defense for us. He just says words. He had one with Malik Beasley earlier this year where he says they were talking about how they actually had a slow start. They came back, said something like, it starts with us, but we got to do a better job of getting each other ready. And warm-ups, feel like we'd be bullshitting, missing layups, not going full speed. So no more bullshitting? Yeah, no more bullshitting. And then, of course, my man is out there bullshitting all the time in the layup lines. I think he's so funny. Every time they turn on the camera, he's magnetic. He's got a fun delivery, I think, a unique delivery. It'd be very interesting to see as a Jeopardy host.
But wouldn't he be funnier as a contestant?
Oh, he would be great.
Right? He would be hilarious.
He would be a celebrity Jeopardy contestant, like in a Saturday Night Live sketch for sure.
Yeah. Who do you got, Tass?
I think all these guys you guys are mentioning are just, they're too funny. I think we forget, like Alex Trebek was, he was dry.
Yeah.
He was
dry. Yeah. But that's where Klay is sort of dry, I think.
True.
Yeah. But I mean, I think his funny came through. I guess Klay's too. You know, like Steph, obviously, he says basically what you say, Skeets, there. Like, you know, he's the funniest dude in the league because, you know, it only comes out every so often. Mm-hmm. Just like Alex Trebek. You know, he kept it straight until he needed to whip you. And that's why it was funny, because it was just so rare. So Klay's a good one. I'm going someone super duper dry that you would just never think is funny at all, and you probably forget from time to time that he's in the league. But Harrison Barnes, okay, I get it. I get
okay,
it.
He's
just a guy. I get it. I mean, he's a good basketball player, but I want someone serious, not a perpetual jokester, and just those rare quips to be amplified because they come out so infrequently. And he, like, has he ever told a joke? You have to look it up. You have to look it up. I get it.
Wow.
I mean, you have to Google. You have to Google Harrison Barnes' joke. But he's got a couple in his career, and I think if he was a Jeopardy host, he'd be able to pull them out just often enough. He wouldn't overdo it. Like, Anthony Edwards is freaking hilarious night to night. Like, he is. If we talk about, like, social media MVPs, I mean, he's running away with it. Nobody is, even within 100 yards. But Harrison Barnes once said, after he left the Warriors and Kevin Durant came in and everyone was talking about Kevin Durant, they asked him about it. He's like, it's like I died. Like, no one's talking about me anymore. Or when he went to the Mavs the next season, after I Googled this and I figured it out, he had a long off season because the Mavs didn't make the playoffs. He's like, I thought I retired. My summer was so long. You know, that sounds like an Alex Trebek kind of joke. So that's where I stand. Like, just keep it close to the vest, you know, don't pull out the jokes too often.
A lot of people are in the stream team saying, like, Blake Griffin, who is a funny guy, naturally. Yeah. People were saying Joel Embiid. You know, there's some Coach Pop suggestions. OG Anunoby, another super dry guy,
very dry,
if you want to go that route. So, yeah, let's hear your suggestions for an NBA player. We'll keep it current. That should be at least a guest Jeopardy host.
Has anybody seen Blake's new prank show?
No. Has it
just
aired?
Just the previews.
Yeah.
Has it aired? Oh, I didn't know.
I don't know. It's on True TV, isn't it?
Because I saw Zach Harper writing about it. I figured there'd be an episode out, but that's just in preparation, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Somebody watch it, and we'll do a whole entire podcast on prank. All right. Our next question here. I saw a pair of enormous sneakers in a New Orleans thrift store. They were Nikes. Still in the box. And it appeared to be DeMarcus Cousins' signature shoes. I did not buy them, but I think about them a lot. What's a piece of basketball memorabilia that lives rent-free in your head? That's from Raymond F. One of the more fascinating questions we've gotten in a while. Mm-hmm. Raymond can't stop thinking about these Cousins' shoes that he saw in a thrift store that I guess you know, he believes were Cousins. So, Trey, what's living in your noggin there for rent-free?
Right now, what's living in my noggin is two songs based on this email. The first one is Werewolves of London. It starts with a line that says, I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand. And that's very similar to me to, I saw a pair of enormous sneakers in a New Orleans thrift store.
Yes, it is.
And then he says he can't stop thinking about these shoes. So now I can't stop thinking about, I've been thinking about shoes. So I'll have those in my head for the rest of the day. As for an answer to this question, a piece of basketball memorabilia that lives rent-free in your head, a Dennis Rodman tattoo shirt from the 90s. Whoa. These came out like right when the Bulls acquired Dennis Rodman, 95-96 season. Ahmad Rashad did a little spot during a game about, look at all these crazy items you can find in the Bulls gift shop, including this Dennis Rodman tattoo shirt. Soon they were everywhere. They were at Sports Authority is the place that I specifically remember it. But they got too popular. Rodman and his agents caught wind. They sued the company Fanatics with an X that was responsible for them for $1 million because the tattoos weren't licensed. They had to settle out of court for something less than that. So
wow.
Only a few thousand of these shirts exist. They show up on vintage sites every now and then, usually in terrible condition, which is why I haven't got one yet. But I can remember seeing it hanging on the rack thinking, this is the coolest shirt I've ever seen in my entire life. Of course, I was 12 years old. I'm not so sure how well a Dennis Rodman shirt would have gone over in my particular household at the time.
Right.
But, oh man, I wish I would have bought this 25, 26 years ago because I would be wearing it to this day.
I mean, I will say it's like that feels like what you see current NBA players wearing, like that type of style, right? It's
yeah.
not that far off. So, yeah, he was ahead of the game. Ahead of the Ed Hardy, I guess, Dennis Rodman was, as the stream team is pointing out. That's a good one. Oh, man, I could see you in that shirt, Trey. I hope you land it one day. Hopefully somebody in the stream team or somebody listening or watching later maybe has one tucked away in an attic somewhere. They can hook you up.
Oh, I would love to see it because, like I'm saying, I've you know, I Google this. I'll throw it in an eBay every now and then, and most of them that comes up, pretty yellow around the neck, pretty ratty. Ooh. These things are old, and there's not a lot of them, and the people that seem to have them seem to love wearing them. So, I don't know. I got to find a classic sometime.
Could you not just, like, replicate it, I guess?
Well, then I'm going to get sued for $1 million and have to settle out of court with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, man. Well, at least that's a story we could talk about on the podcast.
That sounds like a good podcast. All right, I'm in.
Okay.
You think those people would bleach the collar before posting it on eBay or something, you know?
Like, or just Photoshop it even. Why? Yeah, exactly.
As is.
Tass, anything, you know, sports memorabilia living rent-free in your head?
Well, I've seen recently this old Blue Jays phone from like the 70s or 80s or something.
Cool.
Yeah, the baby blue just piercing.
That's awesome.
Through the photograph. Yeah, it is awesome. From That 70s Sports tweeted it, and they tweeted about an old baseball player as well, Tom Hankey, who used to play for the Toronto Blue Jays. I know he's one of your favorites, Skeet. Mm-hmm. So he made a joke about calling down to the bullpen. He wrote, "How many times can you call your wife and say, 'Get Hankey up!' before she divorces you? Because I'm about to find out." It's like I would like having this dumb thing, but it would just, you know, sit and collect dust. You know, it's one of those things, obviously. Like, I'm not buying phone service just so I could have this in music.
We're getting a landline again.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you think Anthony Edwards knows who Tom Hankey is? Because that great would be question. Awesome. Maybe Dwayne Ward, Tom Hankey, Rance Mullenix.
Is this a like a bullpen phone, you know, that would be in the dugout and that's the phone?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember an era where they weren't on a wall. You know, like, was this thing ever on a wall? Like, you know, old phones, you'd think they would just be sitting on a desk, but they were always on a wall. Right, like, but there's probably a time where they weren't mounted.
We had one of these. JD, did you ever have one of those, like, that didn't go on the wall?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I just mean, like, in baseball.
Oh, in the bullpen, they weren't, like, pulling it around. Yeah. It was stationary on the wall, for sure, in the pen. Yeah, I thought you were talking about houses, Tess. Sorry, bud.
No.
those are good. Do you have anything, JD? I mean, I know you're not collecting a lot of sports memorabilia, but no.
I have a lot of sports memorabilia living rent-free in my house right now from our set, but other than that, no.
Yeah, we'll get those boxes out when we get a studio. Don't you worry, JD. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just, there's new talk now in the No Dunks world. We're just going to buy a house and build our own studio. We're not even going to rent anything, so we'll have all the room in the world.
Just a place to store all our old stuff. That's all we need.
Yeah, why not? Make our own studio.
I just had to toss some starter stuff because it was all bent up and stuff. Yeah, there are posters that were just They didn't survive.
We've learned anything, it is give anything that you have that you want to have for the next 20, 30 years, just give it to Dickie. Give it to Lee's dad, and he will keep it in pristine condition. I don't know how. I don't even know where, really. I guess in some bedroom or some attic. But, we should have just sent all of that stuff to Dickie, is my point. And then whenever we need it, just send it all back from Australia, right? I'm not wrong. He's got everything. Lee's got all this stuff still.
Yeah, that's true. I did find our flag, by the way, with all the signatures.
Hey, good.
So I put that aside. So yeah,
that's the one thing we really got to get framed and keep. I don't really care about anything else.
Run it up the flagpole and fly it in front of the house.
Mount it.
Great idea. Oh, yeah, a lot of people hang flags down here in the States off their front porch, be it like an American flag or even like their school flag. Yeah, that's an odd one.
The starter school, Turner Broadcasting.
All right, good idea. I don't really have an answer. You guys have the best answers. Yeah, go next one.
Okay. Hey, y'all. I was surfing channels the other day and had to do a double take when I saw this. Tass and Skeets are still in the TV guide description for court surfing up here in Canada. Yeah, our names are part of the description. At first, I thought they were re-airing a super old episode of Court Surfing, which would be a strange thing to rerun because it was that night's games bouncing around to each game. But upon further investigation, I realized that the episode was current, but the description hadn't been updated in nearly a decade. Yeah, we don't have that technology up in Canada quite yet. Long live TBJ. What's something in your lives that is long due for an update, but you just haven't gotten around to it and possibly never will? Keep the classics rolling. That's from Matthew in Saskatchewan. Nice to get an email from Saskatchewan.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad we put a few NBA teams in Saskatchewan to get this email from Matthew. Yeah, it is weird. We always get like a tweet every couple of months, it feels like, Tass, where somebody notices this thing that you guys are still in the write-up somehow. The TV Guide description that you're still hosting Court Serving, even though we haven't hosted it in,
a decade.
It's a decade. Yeah. It's like at least close to a decade. And we didn't even host it that long. Nope. We didn't do it all that long, right?
Nope.
Yeah, so that's very strange. I don't know who hosts it, by the way. Like, I know Akil Augustine and Randy Urban. Yeah, they definitely did at some point. I believe they maybe still do, if that... I don't know.
They still do a Court Surfing, though? As
I think so.
The hopping around games? Interesting. Yeah.
I think so. Don't quote me on that, but...
I think it's on NBA TV Canada. I'm not...
Yeah, that sounds
sure
right.
...sure how often it happens, but, yeah, 99% sure they still do it.
Yeah, it's wild. But why haven't they updated that is very strange, but I hope they never do, so we're always in that TV Guide. But what is something that, you know... in my life is long overdue for an update, and I just haven't gotten around to it. Sadly, for me, and I'm happy to not hear this is the same for JD, it's my green card. I have been putting it off. And when I mean putting it off, just like getting all this documents, getting like, I gotta go get this birth certificate from some hospital up in Stratford somehow sent to me, you know, all this crap you gotta do. You know, it's just like a pain in the ass. And I'm busy, and I just keep putting it off. And I will, like, the possibly never will, no. It's happening. This is why I'm saying this out loud. Mm. You know, lock it in. I got my taxes done. Check. Now let's lock in on this. So green card will be the next thing in store. And JD, I mean, good news was coming your way recently, of course, with you basically getting it approved.
It's yeah, we got the notice saying that it's been approved. We just haven't actually got the cards yet, which is pretty huge. And I feel you, man, because it was daunting at the beginning. And now that I'm at the end of a 3.5 year journey, I don't envy you.
I think that's what happened here. Like, I don't know, for whatever reason, you got a little head start on me. You did it. And then I saw just the complications that were arising like was making me fearful. And yeah, but we'll get to it. And probably, I hate to say this, JD, but watch it just go like 10 times more smoother for me.
I have no
doubt.
You have
kids
that
and all that too. Yeah.
Yeah. There were four green cards we had to get. So
that's
but
right.
Still.
Well, congratulations. So that's my answer. Lock it in. I'm going to get started on this damn thing with my immigration lawyers. So yeah, really excited about this.
Sounds like fun, man.
Can't wait to get some support letters.
From taxes to green cards.
Hey, if any of you out there in the stream team want to write me some support letters to stay in this country. No, I'm kidding. I know who I'm going to. But Tess, you got an answer for this one?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me because I got a super boring answer as well, sticking in the paperwork department. I haven't made a will, and I don't think I ever will. I just, it's not to get dark here, but like, you know, people will figure it out. If I die, I die, you know? It's like everybody else will just my loved ones will get my stuff, right?
I mean, yeah, it'll just happen. Yeah, but you're making it easier on them.
I know. I'm joking. I actually, it's a hard thing to start, though, you know, as an adult. You just, you know, you don't want to think about your decline at any point or, you know, but yeah, of course, you're setting your loved ones up. It's very, very important. I actually... I'm a little like Dickie, like Lee's dad in this instance. I cut out an article years ago about writing your will and where to start and how difficult it is. Like I literally literally took scissors to a newspaper and I cut it out. Like I couldn't find it on the internet or something, but I have it somewhere that if, even if I do write a will, that is something that I will never look at for sure.
Actually,
but I do
could
have
you
it.
Give me that? Could you write that in your will when you pass on that I get that news clipping so that I can do my will and that I shall pass it on?
Yeah. One thing I definitely am going to put in my will is that our friend Trang once wrote on a piece of paper that she was going to give me her bar cart if she ever died. And I want to make sure that I get that because that was a sweet bar cart.
Wow.
She basically, you know, our friend Trang, yeah. This would definitely
be
something she would
up.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a four letter, like IOU or a four line IOU type thing about her giving me her bar cart and she perishes. But anyway, all good. All good. She's alive and kicking. And she still has her bark art.
She's not stuck in a sleeping bag somewhere?
No.
Okay, good.
No, she's good.
Trey, what's your answer to this?
Well, I thought of a boring one, too, hearing from about the score. I need to call up there, talk to some HR people to track down my retirement savings account from my couple of years of employment up in Toronto. So it sounds like we all got a little paperwork due ahead of us.
Yeah.
Get Sally on the phone.
I know. I can call in the big guns, Tassie. I could call in my Tom Hankey if I wanted to. But I occasionally got to make
it. I didn't mean your Tom Hankey. I didn't mean your Sally. I meant Sally from the score. I don't know what I said. That Sally F, not Sally K.
I thought you meant Tom Hearn, not Tom Hankey next door. Talking about his horses with us.
I think about Don Mullen every day when I go wash my hands.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Nadio's loving this part of the podcast. Yeah. I'll tell you that. He's crying.
Jokes
right
for one.
Yep, exactly. JD, do you have an answer for this?
It's basically my look. It hasn't been updated in probably 7 years.
I was going
to... I grew out my beard, and then that's it. That's basically what I'm clinging to. Like, I used to shave my head, and I used to have different facial hair and stuff, but now I just grew the beard out. I got my haircut, my fade or whatever, and now I'm just clinging to it. It's not like there's no like changing it up at this point. It's just hold on for as long as it lasts. And then I'll just be an old guy. That's it. I guess I got to write my will too now that you mention
it. Jesus, this is so dark now.
Nah, but then you go get your haircut again, JD. You get that fade going again. You feel like a million bucks, right?
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you say, Tess.
I was gonna say haircut too, JD. Like something to switch up. I've been basically the same haircut for at least, I don't know, 15 years, I think. Maybe more. Hasn't really changed all that much, except I did add the beer. That was the nice, my switch up in the last couple of years. I saw somebody early in the stream team said, I haven't seen this show in a while. Skeets has a beard? Oh my God. Big fan here popping in for beach stepping. Hasn't been around in, I don't know, how long? Almost 2 years, something like that. Okay, so your look, your overall look, your vibe. Yeah.
You don't have that big baby Davis photo handy, I guess, JD? Or you updated
not handy,
your look since.
Not handy.
I mean, no, okay.
I'll find it for the end of the show. I'll dig it up while you guys.
All right. Well, we got a few questions left here, so you got a little bit of time. Our next one is, fellers, with all of the NBA Top Shot talk happening, it got me thinking about my hottest highlight reels as a human being so far in my life. It turns out there's not a lot. But one moment that does come to mind was in a high school basketball game when I pulled the old throw it off a guy's back when inbounding the ball and quickly score a hoop. Now, here's the best part. This person, Ian Pete, actually sent in the clip. So this is his eventual Top Shot moment. Here it is, his high school game. Sucker! Nice. Well done. Oh, the fans love it. The cheerleaders loved it. So awesome stuff there, Aaron. Ian, thanks for sending that in. One of my proudest basketball moments, he continues to write, if you guys could pick one highlight of yours to make it into a Top Shot pack, which one would you choose? It could be a sports highlight or just a life highlight. Bonus, if it's on video, embrace the day. Again, that's from ENP. Thank you. That's a fun question. I didn't come through with the video. I didn't think about that part. Yeah, I know not a lot of people were recording our high school games up in Stratford. But I've told you guys the story before. I think if I had to pick one basketball one, it would be when I did the 360 layup in practice, by the way, on the biggest guy on our team, Daryl Smits.
And, Daryl!
Made him look like a fool. This guy was a big, big guy in our high school. He was like 6'7 or something like that. And I jumped in the air and did the 360 around him and finished. But I actually think sports-wise, Tass, you'll like this. It might be a baseball play. During some tournament, I played baseball growing up. I got somehow put on first base. Like, you know, to play defense, which is like not for the small guys like me. You know, you're usually I play in center field. Sometimes I'll be playing short, stuff like that, to move around quickly and stuff. But I was on first. Again, I don't know why. Someone must have got hurt or like there was a weird substitution or something. And it was a close game. And I believe we were like leading by one. There was a runner on the base and someone just like cracked one down the line. And I just did the like wild dive, like to my right, and just snagged it super high, and it was shot out of a cannon, and everyone was like, whoa, like it was actually like a legit, like solid baseball play. So I think I go with that one. I want the rare, because you would think I would go a basketball top shot moment, but let's make it a baseball one. That might be more rare. That's a legendary moment. So that's mine.
That's like an error top shot.
Jay Skeet's playing baseball. Start the Rounders music on it. Yeah. Throw him on that one.
You're like a young Vladdy Guerrero out there playing the one bag.
Sure. Yeah. I got the same size as him, right? Yeah. Same build.
Same fit. Yeah, exactly.
So what do you have, Tess?
Well, I was drunk a few years ago, and I this was when we were living in Atlanta. We were at our friend Doug Miller's house. Yep. And I had forgotten to wear deodorant that day. And I thought my solution in that moment, being in Doug Miller's kitchen, was to bite one of his apples and then proceed to use that as my deodorant, to use the apple as my deodorant in my armpits. And my lovely wife, Danielle, videotaped it as well. So here's the footage. No, I didn't. Oh, I didn't give it to you, Jay.
I was so excited for a second. I was like, really? I was there. That got videotaped?
Yeah, that was one of those moments that I actually had to make sure no one was watching. So it was like, it was my one and only time at Doug Miller's house. Like, you know, not a great friend by any means. Yeah, not someone I'd feel comfortable saying, hey, Doug, got my apple in your armpit, your apple in my armpit. Don't worry, I'm not going to put it back. Like, I didn't put it back in the basket. I mean, not that much of an a-hole, but why didn't I just go to the bathroom? That's a good question. But I literally stunk. Like, I think we had been out all day long, so that was my solution, was an apple. You know, I'm a natural guy. I like natural solutions, so I thought an apple would be the way to go. But an apple really doesn't absorb the stench either.
This is a fascinating life hack here. Take a bite out of an apple and wipe it into your armpits to cover
it. So it didn't work, is what you're saying.
Nah.
Did your armpits get sticky?
I don't think so. I guess no. I mean, my pores just kept on pushing out the juice. So no, I would say no.
That was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a Chomp and Stomp, which is like a chili festival here in Atlanta, which we were out all day. It was hot. Mm-hmm. Then you're also possibly eating chili, which makes it even weirder. So there's a lot of stank going on here in the South when you're in the humidity and stuff like that. Yeah.
What kind of shirt were you wearing to maneuver to your pits? You know, if it's a button down, you can open up a side, kind of get in there pretty easily. Or are you going up, like up a t-shirt?
Or down the collar. Right?
Down the collar, sure. Or that's how a lot of Dennis Rodman shirts got ruined. People got to get a little on their collar.
Yeah, I probably... It probably resulted in a little apple bacon neck, you know, going right through the collar and getting in there. It was a tea, you know, it was a casual day, and
a casual chili shirt.
Yeah. It was definitely a long day. And I don't think anyone, like you said, there was a lot of stenches happening.
Yeah.
You know, there was, so I don't think it really mattered, but I just reeked. I do remember that. Cool story, bro. Wow.
What an NFT of Tess putting a bit apple on his armpits. I mean, that would go for millions. You can't convince me otherwise. Trey, what's your answer for this?
Mine was baseball, too. I once went from first to third on a bloop single. Wow. It was the fastest I've ever felt. Had a sick hook slide into third base, avoided the tag, grabbed it with my left hand. My dad wasn't able to attend the game, but he told me afterwards, I heard about your slide on the radio. A great slide by Kirby.
Wow.
This has got to be a good slide. I mean, to me, it's the only slide of my life that I can vividly remember, but I go to bed most nights thinking, how awesome would it be to slide into a base, right? Like, that's something I'm probably not going to do again. Maybe if I get into a softball league, but even then, I'm... more than sliding. Willing to take the out. Yeah, I'll probably take the out instead of the strawberry on the leg, but sliding is fun. I miss sliding for sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, but now these guys, they got like the oven mitt on their hand too, right? To,
safety.
They don't break their fingers and stuff like that. Catch them on cleats and catch them on the bag.
They're expanding the bases in the minor leagues. They're making them, they're going from 12-inch by 12-inch to 15-inch by 15-inch. Get it bigger. So there's less broken fingers. They're trying that out. Yeah, less collisions.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. JD, do you have a moment you know, that you would love to have made into like a Top Shot type highlight thing?
Yeah, actually, I have two, and I have videos for both.
Yes.
Wow.
The first one is the time I beat Lincoln at the game Seen It, you know, the DVD trivia movie game.
Yep.
And so this was the exact moment that I won. Here it is.
You are a winner.
You are the winner.
Okay, excellent. I pay a lot for that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And like to ask for the next one, I was quite drunk, and it was the time I got the hiccups, and I managed to capture some of it on video.
Guys, I have the hiccups. It's bad. Real bad. Wait for it.
Jesus.
Oh.
Rachel with the Jesus. I also definitely thought you were setting us up for a fart there. I don't know why. Like when you were saying, hold on, here comes the hiccup. Hold on. Here it comes. Yeah. But no, it was a legit hiccup.
I don't fart, so that would never
happen. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, that's why it would make it very rare as an NFT. The one JD fart ever.
Yeah.
And it's recorded. Mm.
Sounded like there was machines all around you, like you could have been in a hospital room because you had the hiccups so bad.
Right. It was not intense. Trapped wind. Or trapped wind, I guess.
Trapped
wind. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we were in a hotel room and Rachel was working the safe, I think, at the time. So
that's where you had the water to help get rid of your hiccups so you keep it safe. Very support key to you, obviously, the safe.
Good stuff.
Oh, man. Okay, we're almost done here. Great videos. One more question.
Hi, crew. Since you're fans of both basketball and Survivor, I thought this could be interesting. Last week, the new trailer for Survivor Turkey caught my attention as they announced an ex-NBA player will be on it. Marko Jaric, a Serbian player who you'll remember from the Clippers and Timberwolves. They play beach basketball, and Jaric repeatedly tosses a guy who's trying to front him in the post, just throws him like a rag doll.
Get out of here.
Which retired player do you think would be good at beach basketball? Cheers and stay safe. That's from Doga. Yeah, and there's also another clip we didn't include, but Jaric he's getting real into it. He's like, hey, if you don't want to win, leave. Either you play or you win. One or the other. I've never heard Marko Jaric talk, but then I heard him talk in the Turkish version of Survivor. Wow. Why is he on Survivor Turkey? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, interesting stuff. They've got survivors everywhere, huh?
They do. It also didn't look like that was on a beach to me, that clip. It looks like it's like indoors for some reason, like a weird like indoor volleyball court. But I guess there's, yeah, I guess they've just built this weird thing around it. Like this looks hilariously bootleg, by the way.
How is that basketball? Like how is that beach basketball? If anything, that looks like, I mean, there's a hoop. Close
there
to
was
soccer.
A hoop above that. It does look like a net, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
No, there's an actual hoop that's up like 10 feet. But yeah, I'll send you guys the clip.
Sure.
I'll Slack it to you.
I might get into Survivor Turkey now. I'm going to start watching that. Like, that's an interesting comparison. Like, they got Marko Jaric. Who did the American version have? Cliff Robinson, right? I guess
Scott Pollard.
Oh, Pollard. Yeah, that's more of a maybe like a somehow comparable, sure. I guess, sort of players. Cliff Robinson, much better. Huh, okay.
Sure. You got an answer for this one? Which retired player do you think would be good at beach basketball?
Yeah, I misread this question. Thought it said beach volleyball, but my answer still stands. Like okay. Chase Budinger, he's an actual legitimate beach volleyball player right now.
Yeah.
So he would probably also be good at beach basketball, considering he was an NBA basketball player. The guy was like an incredible, the best high school volleyball player in the country when he was a senior in high school. He can obviously do it at a professional level now. So he has the basketball background. He knows how to run on sand. I think that's an underrated part of beach volleyball as well. So probably beach basketball is the same. So yeah, even though I prepped completely wrong here, I'm feeling good with Chase Budinger. Going with Budinger.
Do you think Steve Kirby was listening to Chase Budinger volleyball high school games on the radio like he was with you? That was an underrated part of that story. Yeah. That was broadcast on the radio?
Yeah, I'm sorry we skipped over that part. It's on the radio.
Yeah, like our high school games, WSPY, S, Sandwich, P, Plano, Y, Yorkville. Play all the local high school games, you know? You never know if who's going to take Plano versus Earlville. It's going to be a tough one against the Raiders.
That's crazy, man. So that's why, yeah, Steve's driving around and he's hearing, Kirby with a great slide into third.
What a slide by Kirby!
Was it head first or feet first?
Feet first. I don't know. I like to think of myself as a bit of a Roberto Alomar there when I'm doing the slide to the side.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Chase, you're going with Chase because sure. It doesn't really matter. He's probably good on the sand.
Yeah.
Who was was it Joakim Noah that was the one doing all those crazy workouts with Laird Hamilton? Yeah, doing those crazy like underwater. Wasn't JJ Redick doing those too, or was it Kyle Korver? Like that underwater stuff where you're like holding boulders and like you got the crazy conditioning.
I feel Korver like Korver sounds somewhat familiar.
Yeah, I think there was an article on that. You know, they're older players now, but give me Kyle Korver. Let's put him on a Survivor turkey and see how he can do on this weird basketball version of beach basketball, I guess is what they're calling it. I don't really get it, what's going on. So you're not dribbling it, I would assume, but it's like netball in a weird way. Anyway,
yeah, it's like
go netball. Korver.
Is Chase Buttinger going to be on the American Olympic team or what? Because he was legitimately trying to get there, right?
The stats I saw were that he started 2018. He was the rookie of the year. The next year, he won an AVP title and was named most improved player. So,
wow.
It seems like he's good already and is learning how to play amongst the greats. So maybe. Yep.
Interesting. There was a great answer, I think, in the stream team here by Grant Westbrook. I know it's probably... Mm-hmm. Probably a standard answer, but to be good in sand, you gotta really want it. Like, yeah, you gotta really have a strong desire to get through sand over and over and over again. It's probably Russ is a good one. Like, he wouldn't give up. So I'll go with the conventional answer of Russ.
Oh my God. Now I really want to see Russell Westbrook on Survivor. Wow. Because that'd be fascinating, because everybody thinks he would be like a bit of a hothead and would maybe get frustrated with other people. But then by all accounts, he's like such an awesome teammate. So we would get to actually see maybe which one it is, or maybe it facilitates back and forth between the two. Interesting.
Yeah, I would see him being almost too loyal to his alliances, right? Like, I think he would be so angry at his opponents that he would never, like, he would be the one who would never flip. Which would probably leave him vulnerable to a blindside, which is why he's got to go all out in the challenges. And in that case, yeah, I can see him throwing some guy who's 5'8", 130 pounds, throwing him 25 yards just so he gets to stick around for another day. That's Westbrook for sure.
Okay, that'd be a great one. Let's get Westbrook on Survivor before it's all said and done. Would love to see that. JD, any luck finding that photo as we wrap up this very fun edition of Beach Steppin'?
Yes.
Here it is. Yeah, it is. Guy.
Things have changed, JD. Things have changed.
Yeah.
For the better.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. You look great now.
Translation, you look like shit in this photo. What the hell was going on there?
Yeah.
You look like, honestly, 10 years older in that photo, which was 10 years ago. So that is a good thing. That's what you want to hear, right?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Benjamin Button over here.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of legends in that photo. There you go. No doubt. I see three for sure, Sarah. Okay. That is another fun edition of Beach Step. And thanks to everybody that sent in your questions. Keep them coming all week long. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. You can tweet them in, @nodunksinc. You can leave them in the YouTube comments. Help us defeat the algorithm. Let's like and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Let's get to 40K by the end of next week. We said it's a very attainable goal. Let's do it. Go get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/nodunks. And we'll be back tomorrow on Thursday, tasked with what you need to know. We got The Daily Show live at 10. And then, of course, tasked with what you need to know on Friday. And we got the Drop podcast as well coming up. Lee will be back next week. Can't wait to see that guy and his his longer locks and the salt on his face still. I bet you he doesn't even shower when he comes home. Hopefully he can get back in the country. There was some concern about that.
We'll see
He'll
what happens.
Fine. He'll be fine.
Quick correction. The Daily Show will be at 9 a.m. Eastern.
Ooh, good catch, JD. I forgot about that. We're bumping that up tomorrow. So join us even earlier than normal for The Daily Show after Tass's What You Need to Know. Look, just subscribe already so I can stop saying this stuff and you get it automatically. Please subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube or subscribe to No Dunks wherever you download your podcast from. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the show's going to be a little bit earlier tomorrow morning because you got to get them vaccinated. Hey, hey!
Dose number two, AJD.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Brace the day, people.